This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. We're answering your questions. Questions can come to us via radio program at AOL.com. And so what's our next question, Layla?
Okay, our next email comes from Elvira. I'm thinking Mistress of the Dark. Anyway.
Did you watch that TV? She was like the hostess of like the late night horror movies, Elvira.
Yes. Mistress of the Dark. Yes, I used to watch.
Boy, yeah. That was a campy phenomenon.
Right. So Elvira writes, "Hello. Is there a way to cure genital HPV? There are no warts, and it was recently discovered by pap smear. Can it spread to the mouth if no oral sex is performed? Can it spread by fellatio? My friend is horrified at the discovery."
Wow. Okay. Well, let's talk about the spreadability of HPV.
Which is human papilloma virus.
First of all, it's very pervasive, a very high percentage of women, high double digits, perhaps in some populations exceeding 50%, 60%. Younger women who are sexually active tend to acquire it. That does not necessarily mean that they'll get cervical cancer.
Because there are strains of HPV. And there are a few strains that are maybe the precursor to cervical cancer, but not all strains.
Right. And also, there's resistance factors, frankly, that some women acquire it. They handle it. What's called subclinical. They don't even know that they have it. Other women will get either cervical cancer or they'll get genital warts, which is a dangerous problem, but certainly a problem. Okay. So the question is, can they be spread without oral sex? Is that what the question is?
No. Can it be spread without oral sex?
Yeah.
Or can it be spread by oral sex as well?
Well, I mean, I guess technically there could
be spread genital to genital.
Genital to genital.
And if there is oral sex, I mean, isn't there more of a prevalence lately?
Yes, absolutely.
Oral cancers?
Yes, exactly. And it's thought that that's due to HPV because, I mean, there are really two types of oral cancer. There's a type that you acquire when you're a smoker, and that used to be almost 100% when I was first in medicine, is that virtually everyone who developed tongue cancer, throat cancer, tonsillar cancer, mouth cancer, they were all smokers, 100%.
Yeah.
Now we have the phenomenon of some people developing oral cancer, and the doctor said, "Well, you know, how long have you smoked?" And the person says, "Well, I never smoked." And then it's more likely that they will have acquired it through oral sex.
Yeah.
And that's actually the Michael Douglas story. You know, Michael Douglas, of course, he did smoke, but he also engaged in oral sex. He developed mouth cancer, and he famously outed himself saying, "I acquired oral cancer via oral sex." Hard to know because he had both risk factors for oral sex. But then another part of the question has to do with the transmission of this. I didn't quite get that all.
Yeah. Can it be spread to the mouth if no oral sex is performed, but can it be spread by fellatio?
Well, can it be spread? I mean, can it be spread to the mouth by what? You know, touching your genitals and then putting your hand in your mouth? I mean, I guess theoretically that's possible, although I don't know that that's ever going to be proven or disproven, you know?
Yeah.
Right? You know, I guess theoretically that's possible. I mean, we may discover that there are cases of people who develop oral cancer that's HPV related, who swear up and down that they never smoked and never had oral sex. And then we'll have to say, gee, where did it come from? I don't know that that's ever been looked at as a, you know, from a research standpoint in medicine.
That's interesting.
Okay. You know, it's kind of like, you know, can you get, you know, herpes from touching a doorknob or something? Or, you know, like,
right.
You know, can you get it off, you know, from a public
restroom?
Sitting on a toilet seat, right. Not putting the paper down and, you know, protect you, blah, blah, blah. You know, that kind of thing. Okay. So,
is there a cure? Is really the question.
Well, there is no cure. There is no cure.
Yeah.
However,
it's a virus.
It's a virus for which there's no cure. Yeah. However, and by the way, there's no good medical treatment for HPV. There are medical treatments for herpes, but there's no medical treatment for
HPV. Yeah.
Not even. I mean, maybe that's in the works. But interestingly, there is a literature on natural things that suppress HPV and that also prevent the development of cancer that's related to HPV. Now, I'm looking here at a study about something called polyphenon E.
Hmm.
Polyphenon E is a drug. It's developed in Europe, but it's actually on formulary here in the United States. It's a standardized green tea extract, which is painted on the cervical surface and has been shown to reduce progression towards abnormal pap smears and help abnormal pap smears regress when HPV is the culprit. So this is it's a very interesting concept. And so anyway, green tea.
Green tea, folate.
Folate, which is, seems to have an anti-Barrett's esophagus effect. It's the same type of tissue transformation from normal to precancerous to cancer and esophageal cancer. So, you know, upstairs and downstairs, the tissue is a similar type. It's epithelial tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, we might include other anti-cancer nutrients like DIM from the cabbage family, cruciferous vegetables. I would also add
the normal slew of antioxidants, meaning vitamin C, vitamin A, selenium, some zinc, at least for a time.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Nicotinamide riboside can help. You'd halt the progression of cancer possibly by repairing DNA.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. So nicotinamide riboside, I think, should be added to a protocol.
Right.
For somebody with this. The most important thing being keeping immunity healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the terrain.
And there are some studies, speaking of which, looking at HPV resolution with HCC, advanced hexose correlated compound, brand name Impower or Immunokinoku. These are used a lot in Japan, and they're available in supplements here in the United States. And there is some research on the antiviral effects of HCC, in particular against HPV. So, bottom line, it's kind of like you can live with it. If you've acquired it, you're not going to be able to eradicate it. And I know for some people psychologically, that's a great burden because, you know, it's just kind of that scarlet letter. You know, it's a venereal disease and it makes you feel tainted. But
STD,
But you can live with it and it will be inconsequential in terms of any kind of cosmetic damage due to genital warts or the risk of cancer, especially cervical cancer in men. Men can develop penile cancer. That's a very uncommon type of cancer. By the way, seems to be a little bit more likely in men who are uncircumcised.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, Elvira, thank you very much for your question. Wow. All right. Do we have time for another?
Well, it's a good point at which to pause. Thank you for reminding me, because at this point, let's allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you. Here it goes. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our questions with Layla. What's next?
We've got an email from Mike. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, if there was a purely natural substance that can cure disease and an investor was willing to put billions of dollars into getting it FDA approved for its use, wouldn't that have an effect of actually raising the bar for researchers and especially pharmaceutical companies to come up with something competitive without side effects? But I read that no one can market it because it's a purely natural substance because it's not patentable. Is that the real truth, that no one can make money on a natural substance because you can't patent it?
Well, yeah, that's very interesting because you get into the economics of both the supplement industry and the pharmaceutical industry. So recently, I wrote a blog for our newsletter on this very subject, which is about the pharmaceutical industry lacking incentives to really eradicate disease, as you
propose.
You know, like, okay, wouldn't it be great if they could just eradicate disease, come up with all the cures? Well, look, I absolutely do think that the pharmaceutical industry is trying to curb and eradicate disease. I don't think that there's some central committee, some cabal of people who are heads of pharmaceutical companies saying, let's keep people sick because we're profiting off this. I mean, this is actually the claim of some, I think people a little bit on the fringe of the natural health movement, is that it's, you know, that basically we have the sickness industry, that there's a conspiracy between the pharmaceutical manufacturers of drugs and the food industry to keep people sick. I think that...
Because it's not a good business model to cure people. They need them coming back.
In fact, that was actually looked at, because there are perverse incentives. Let's put it this way. I don't think that there's some evil conspiracy, but there are perverse incentives. And frankly, this is capitalism and this is business. And so there's two ways to make money off a drug. One is to develop a drug that ultimately is moderately priced and that people have to take for a lifetime. And that would be drugs for high blood pressure, drugs for diabetes, drugs for acid, you know, stomach acid, psychiatric drugs. You know, we can name many of those drugs. And these drugs generally run you, you know, maybe your copay is going to be, I don't know, in the single digits per month or maybe more, depending on how new the drug is. You know, it's a bite, but it's not going to, you know, it's not going to put you into bankruptcy. But the fact that you take it for a lifetime means a sinecure for the pharmaceutical company, because that means that you represent tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars of profits to the pharmaceutical company over the course of a lifetime. The other way they can make money is they can, and by the way, when you take an antihypertensive drug, it doesn't cure your hypertension, it just controls it.
Yes.
So wouldn't it be amazing if they could just come up with a pill that cures your hypertension? But in order to do that, that pill would probably cost $100,000, right? Mm-hmm. Now, there's an example of this, is that they actually, for certain very rare types of blindness, they've come up with drugs that one drug treatment, one infusion, can cure you of blindness. Now, but don't people who are blind don't think that it's, you know, it's like, you know, Stevie Wonder, you need not apply, you know, because this is not a generalized treatment for blindness. But for very niched, rare types of blindness, we now have treatments. Do you know what the cost is for each eye? It's $250,000. So I guess you know, you probably said, well, I think I can only afford one eye.
You know, and that's if I sell my house.
Yes, right. So, and is it, you know, covered and approved by drug companies who, you know, I mean, by insurance companies? Maybe, you know, maybe you'll have to have a bake sale. So there's two ways to recoup the supposed costs associated with R&D, research and development on medications, which are considerable. And the approval process for each new drug is now approaching $1 billion. Every time a new drug is introduced. So to the question about the natural things, I mean, you can do some use patents sometimes. Those patents are hard to defend. If you spend a lot of money, say, doing research on the benefits of green tea, then every other company that makes green tea can say, thank you very much for investing, you know, a couple of $100,000 into these research studies. We'll now, you know, We'll undercut you, you know, because we didn't spend a lot of money on research and development. We can sell our supplement cheaper, and it's, you know, since it's a natural substance, it's not patented. So, yes, there is a disadvantage to the supplement industry to some extent. They have less hurdles in terms of regulatory because they don't have to do, you know, very, very extensive trials with the FDA for approval. So that is an economic advantage that you can introduce a product with less cost and, you know, marketing and so on, and, you know, to get the approvals. But long term, you can't protect your patent.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
So I wrote about, I mean, you want to read a little more about that? I wrote about this in a previous blog. You can find it at drhoffman.com.
Yeah. Mike, thank you for that very, very thoughtful question. Okay. We have an email from Patricia. Dr. Hoffman, my husband is 82 years old. When he awakens from a night's sleep, his blood pressure is 152 over 80. Usually it's 102 over 60. He only weighs 140 pounds. He's a long-time runner. What's causing this fluctuation?
Well, it's a bit of a wacky autonomic nervous system. Is typically what gets us up in the morning is a surge of cortisol. And you know, that's sort of the wake-up call because otherwise we would just stay in bed and we wouldn't go anywhere. So
right, it challenges us up for the day. Maybe that's not the best time of day to take blood pressure?
Well, the only concern is, I mean, what you can do is you can keep checking the blood pressure until it's okay. And then you can say, well, my blood pressure is okay. But then what that means is that over during various times of the day, your blood pressure may be high. And that's what your arterial walls are seeing. That's what your kidneys are seeing. That's what your brain is seeing. That's what your heart is seeing. And so that is a form of hypertension. It's just periodic. And what I think is going to happen in the future is because of wearables, more and more people will be able to do ambulatory blood pressure monitoring, which is now, I mean, it's been around for a while. It's the, you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you a device that you wear and it records your blood pressure over, you know, course of a day. And it's a little bit annoying because the thing, you know, puffs up on your arm from time to time at various intervals and then records your blood pressure. That's a little bit distracting at times. But it does give us an idea of, is the blood pressure fluctuating? And that's particularly useful for people who go to the doctor's office and their blood pressure's high. We have so-called white coat syndrome. We want to see if that's the norm or we want to see if that's just an aberration. So, you know, I guess it's a bit of a problem. And the way to determine, you know, is blood pressure consequential is to look at the heart, do an echocardiogram. Look at your arteries to see if your arteries are starting to show signs of stress with calcification and stenosis blockage. And also to look at kidney function, obviously. Sometimes we do, you know, that little test we do, there's urine microglobulin.
Yes.
Is it microalbumin? I'm sorry.
Microalbumin.
Microalbumin.
See how the kidneys are,
which,
right.
Measures stress on the kidneys. That's usually a combination of high blood sugar and blood pressure. And
you know what else? You know what I would recommend is a salivary cortisol test.
That too.
To see see if his cortisol levels are very, very high in the morning. He might benefit from taking cortisol manager at night. At bedtime, that could help, and see what his blood pressures are then doing the next morning.
Because this guy's got high blood pressure that's not related to overweight. It seems to be more about his nervous system, that there's nervous system's a little whacked out and dysregulated, which happens sometimes as you get older. There's a dysregulation of the autonomic nervous system where, you know, you try – it's kind of like, you know, a car where you push down the accelerator and it doesn't go. And then, but also the brakes don't work that well. You know, it's, your braking and your acceleration, are, haywire. You know, it's like you're wired when you're trying to relax and,
wired but tired.
Yeah.
Interesting. Maybe that's why, you know,
and self-regulatory, I'm sorry, go ahead.
In older people, that blood pressure does tend to go up. Even if weight does not go up, that it can just...
There is such a thing as hardening the arteries. I mean, the arteries are less supple. But, you know, this really speaks to something that you're a big fan of, is that you are a yoga practitioner long-term. I'm a relatively new initiate to yoga. Yoga, meditation, Tai Chi, breathing, these are practices that tend to help to auto-regulate, you know, to help to bring our autonomic nervous system back under our control.
Yeah, absolutely. The different breathing patterns, left nostril breathing helps to calm us down. Right nostril breathing helps to energize us. In somebody with blood pressure, they want to do maybe practice a little more left nostril breathing at times throughout the day. But just the practice of yoga and that deep breathing is essential to our lives.
Yeah, yeah, I was in the car the other day and I was feeling kind of drowsy. You know, it's because the traffic was slow on the Long Island Expressway coming back from Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, one of the things that I do when I feel drowsy is I do the alternate nostril breathing. And there's a name for it in yoga and I forget it, but it's,
I forget it too.
Yeah. But it's, you inveterate yoga.
I'm going to have
devotees,
to look it up now. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But it's very energizing and it tends to, you know, if you feel sleepy, it'll reawaken you and make you alert again. And, you know, there's not much you can do in sitting in traffic in a car to wake yourself up. I mean, I've tried like slapping myself and pinching myself and different things like that, you know. Breathing tends to, I mean, it's very important. It really sends a signal to your nervous system, which can either relax you or make you more alert and awake. So these are techniques that might be worth investigating.
Yeah. Patricia, thank you for your question. Best of luck to your husband.
And it's been fun. That's all the time we have because time flies.
Wow.
When you're enjoying yourself, and hopefully you all were. We were.
We were.
Thanks for listening. And continue to support our sponsors. Please check out the store at drhoffman.com for supplements that we mentioned here during these podcasts. And we'll be back next week. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. And I'll be there, Layla. Will you?
I will.
All right. See you next week. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.